Hey friends, it's good to be with you again. My name is Ricky James, a senior pastor here at First Methodist Church in Clinton, and we are so glad you're here with us, whether you're joining us online or listening to us at Supertalk FM. Today, we're starting a new sermon series called Good Grief. I don't know about you, but there have been some times in my life for these past several years where I've faced loss, and I've walked through grief. And I think all of us, as humans, as people, have or will face grief. But as people of faith, we can put our hope in the one who walks with us. And when we walk with Jesus through our grief, we might even begin to understand that grief can be good. Well, thanks for being with us today as we worship the God who walks with us every day. Welcome.
Soon we'll come to the end of life's journey, and perhaps we'll never meet anymore, till we gather in heaven's bright city.
Join me now in affirming our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You know, friends, it is February, and I'll give you a little secret. We film these and record these a few days early, so it's actually today, February 2nd, Groundhog's Day. And you know, sometimes this little bit of the offering can kind of feel like that old movie. We're just saying it over and over and over again, but you know what's important about it? Your generosity, over and over and over again, is what makes this possible. So I don't mind it at all, thanking you over and over for your generosity and encouraging you to keep up the good work. because you make this whole thing possible. So if you want to, please give at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving or mail your check to 100 Mount Salis Road or drop it off the next time you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to see you anyway. Remember, every time you give over and over, you make an eternal difference.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and it's time to spend a few moments with the kids. It's raining here today, so I have my umbrella with me. It seems like it's been raining for such a long time, I don't know when it's going to stop. It's been raining so much, I'm pretty sure it's going to even start raining indoors, so I'm ready for it. So I've opened my umbrella, and I'm going to stay under it, indoors and out. In fact, I haven't seen the sun for such a long time, I don't think that the sun even exists anymore. When I look outside, all I see is the clouds. There's no sun at all. If I said that the sun no longer existed, could you convince me that I was wrong? How do you know that the sun is still there, even when we can't see it? Do you think I should stay hidden under this umbrella? Is the sun really gone for good? Of course not. I was being a bit silly, pretending that there was no sun, wasn't I? If this was a magical umbrella, and just holding on to it, I could fly up into the sky, through the clouds, and above the clouds. Do you know what I would see? I would see the sun. Airplanes sometimes do that. They fly right up through the clouds, and there's the sun, shining brightly. It was there all along. We just couldn't see it. Sometimes we lose faith that God is there. When we have very sad times in our lives, it's almost as if the sun has disappeared, isn't it? And we might feel that God has gone away and doesn't care about us anymore. Do you think God really goes away during the sad times in our lives? He loves us at all times, even when we don't feel God's presence, even when life is very sad. But just like the sun is always there above the clouds, God is always here with us. Psalm 136 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And Psalm 30 promises that even though weeping and crying may last all night, joy comes in the morning. There is always hope, and God is always there for us. I guess I don't really need to hide under this umbrella, do I? It might still be raining outside, but the clouds will eventually go away, and we'll be able to see the sun again. And the sad times in our lives will eventually be over, and the joy of God's love will shine in us again. And that's the good news for today. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, please help us through the sad times of our lives. Remind our hearts to always have hope and to know that your love never leaves us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now let us join together in pray as God's children our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
All throughout the book of Psalms, we see a cry to God, a cry for help, a cry for hope, a cry for vengeance, and very often we see cries of grief. A really powerful one comes from the sixth psalm. We hear these words, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long?" Anytime I think of walking through grief with someone, I know that I will at some point hear that cry. How long? How long will I feel this way? How long will this last? Oh Lord, how long? You know, I have a vivid memory of the first time that I ever saw my dad cry. It was at my grandmother, his mother's funeral, when I was 5 years old. One of the earliest memories I have at all, in particular. And I remember him crying because it was so unlike him, both before or after. I probably can count on one hand the times that I've seen my father cry, and never like this, never just that uncontrollable crying. In fact, it was so unusual to see him like this, I remember that I started laughing. And I knew that was bad. I don't know why, but I knew I shouldn't be doing that, particularly when I saw the looks of horror on my sister and mother's face at me laughing here at this funeral. It really was the first time that I ever confronted the reality of death, whatever that was. And I also saw that it made my dad really upset. And also realized that I didn't know how to feel in this moment. As I've grown older, I've learned the real truth in that last statement that I made, that I didn't know how to feel dealing with this grief. When we confront real significant loss, whether it's the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of a dream that we've had, when we confront that real life-altering type of loss, we're often not quite sure how we are supposed to feel or how long we will feel this way. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk together candidly and honestly about grief and how, as people of faith, we confront grief and confess that when understood within the context of the Christian faith, grief can actually be a good thing. And so as we begin this time together, I want you to understand a couple of things about grief. In fact, an influential author that I've read a lot in study of grief. His name is Dr. Kenneth Hawke. Kenneth talks about the three N's of grief, the capital letter N, the three N's of grief. He wants us to understand that grief is normal, grief is natural, and grief is necessary. What he means by this, that grief is normal, natural, and necessary, helps us to understand how grief is actually part of God's good plan for us to confront and walk through the losses that we will encounter in this life. When he says that grief is normal, what he means by this is that it's normal to expect people who have suffered a great loss to be greatly affected by it. It's normal. No matter what the loss is, and no matter the circumstances surrounding it, it is normal for people to grieve. And part of what I hope that we experience together over these weeks is to understand that it is normal to go through grief. And the reason it's normal is that second N, that grief is natural. You see, we believe that we were created to love, that we were created in the image of God, who is love itself, that as bearers of the image of God, we are made to be in relationship with one another, which means that if we were created to love so deeply, it is only natural for us to grieve so greatly when those relationships are impacted by loss. It is natural. It is human. It is part of how we were created to go through the grief associated with a loss. And because it is normal and it is natural, we also need to grab a hold of the fact that grief is necessary. Grief provides a healthy way to cope with loss and to cope with everything that that loss means. In fact, if you hear nothing else today or nothing else for the rest of this series, I hope that you write that down, that grief is normal and natural and indeed necessary as we react to the losses that we face in this life. Because the simple fact is that we will face loss. Already, I'm sure you have been thinking of a relationship or a situation in which you have encountered loss. Maybe the loss of a dear friend, the loss of a dear loved one. Or in this year plus of pandemics, we have faced the loss of normalcy, the loss of health, the loss of life as we knew it. We face the losses of jobs and security. Loss isn't just about death, but it is whenever we have a break in a relationship that we have come to depend upon for part of our identity. And so we want to reinforce the idea that whatever type of loss you have or may be going through, grief, the name of grief, is good. When we say that grief is good, what we mean is that it is God's way of walking us through the pain and the loss that we inevitably encounter in this life. So I want to say it again, just in case you haven't let it soak in yet. The reason that we think that grief is good is because grief is normal and natural and necessary. Grief is God's way of walking us through loss and pain. So as I said, over these next weeks, we're going to focus on grief. And today, I want you to give yourself permission to grieve, to give yourself the time that the work of grief will take. You know, as a pastor, I've had the holy privilege to stand with people in moments of significant loss. And because I've done this for 20 years, I've seen both the unique ways that people deal with loss and grief, but also the profound similarities that most people go through when confronted with loss. In fact, it's almost universal that when someone first has a significant loss, they go through a period that we call shock. The shock is that time period in which people describe themselves as being dazed or confused, bewildered, disoriented, paralyzed. Oftentimes people will say they feel numb. They don't feel angry, they don't feel sad, they certainly don't feel happy, they don't feel anything. And the reason is because they are in shock. And again, it really doesn't matter what the loss is. I've sat with people who've lost loved ones to death, and I've sat with people who've lost a beloved pet. I've sat with people who've just lost their job. And they report that similar feeling, that sense of feeling nothingness. And that's That's the body's built-in mechanism to shield us from the immediate pain until we are ready and able to deal with the more intense feelings. I was a Boy Scout growing up, and we learned a lot about the concept of shock when it comes to injuries. How someone might have a significant injury like a broken leg, and how for the first few minutes and sometimes even hours, they're still able to walk on the leg and not feel any pain because the body's going through this shock. Likewise, if you've watched football, you might see someone get a really bad injury on the field and still manage to pick themselves up and walk off on their own power, later to find out they've had a career or season-ending injury. And again, it's because of this idea of shock. It really is the body's mechanism to be able to give you the ability to withstand or ignore the pain long enough for you to get out of the immediate danger or to get through the immediate crisis. I've walked with people as they've planned their husband or wife's funeral, and how they really are doing all these things, all these details, all these arrangements, all these decisions, these financial decisions and these scheduling decisions, and how they just kind of go and go and go, and they don't feel any anything. And I really do think it's God's little gift to us to shield us from that immediate pain, that numbness, to allow us to get through the first days and weeks of the loss. But then, after that shock wears off, we begin to see several pressure points begin to emerge in our journey of grief together. The first one is the pressure to be strong. And this is a particularly powerful pressure for people of faith like us. This idea that once the shock begins to wear off, we do indeed begin to feel our emotions again. We do feel the sadness. We do feel the anger. We begin to feel the fear again. And as that shock wears off, it's only natural. We might begin to think that we're headed in the wrong direction. You know, I felt really, really fine during the funeral in those first few days. But now a week has gone by and I'm beginning to feel sad again. And am I headed in the wrong direction? And the reality of it is, no, you're not. You're beginning to walk through grief. You may begin to think you're going crazy. You're not. You're just going through grief. But you feel that pressure to be strong like you were in those first few days, or to be strong like other people. You know, shock, again, is natural and it's normal, but bottling up your feelings and giving into that pressure to be strong, that's not. And so be aware that you're going to feel that intense pressure to try to make yourself strong. The second pressure you're going to begin to feel is the pressure to compare. And what's interesting is that all humans share in this concept of grief, but we all move through it differently and at different speeds and at different levels. And we're going to feel an intense pressure to compare ourselves to others in our own process of grieving. Sometimes that takes the form of rationalization. We compare our loss to the losses that other people in our lives have gone through, and we try to say, well, you know, my loss isn't as big, and so I shouldn't be upset. Or their loss is not as important as mine. Why don't they understand what I'm going through? That pressure to compare, we begin to rationalize our losses one to the other. We also feel the that sometimes that pressure of comparison begins to take on the form of envy. We envy others who seem to be handling the loss, whatever it is, better. We envy others who may be further in their grief journey and seem to be getting over it, while we can't even begin to imagine ever being over our loss. And so we envy other people where they are in their grief stage. We also might feel the pressure to compare taking the form of judgment. Why aren't they as strong as I am? Or why aren't I as strong as that other person? You see, looking to others, that pressure to compare, that also is natural and normal. But determining who's worse off or who's doing better, that pressure to compare, that's not healthy. But the final pressure I want to talk about this morning is that pressure to be done. Again, we want the pain to end. When that shock wears off and we begin to face the reality of our feelings, and as we understand that grief takes time, we want it to end as soon as possible. We want this feeling to be done. But the truth that we struggle to accept is that grief takes time. And the pressure to be done is a real intense pressure. But grief marches to its own timetable. And so we find ourselves crying out like the psalm this morning. How long, O Lord? How long? How long will I feel this way? You see, wanting to rush through grief is also natural and normal, but giving yourself time, that is necessary. I wish there was a magic formula to hurry people through, but in my own life, grief runs to its own schedule. The pressure that comes to us as we grieve, the pressure to be done, the pressure to compare, the pressure to be strong, those pressures are real and intense, and they come from both ourselves and from those who are trying their best to be helpful, but often are adding more pressure to us. That pressure is real, but remember, it is natural and normal and necessary to grieve our losses. And so we join our voices with the cry from the Psalms. How long, O Lord? How long? The good news is that God hears our cry. And God's good time, He comes to us in Jesus. In Jesus, we see a God who became fully human, which means He came to share in our life, to share in our hurts, to share in our pain, to share in our loss, and yes, to share in our grief. Jesus knows what it means to lose deeply. Jesus knows what it means to grieve. Jesus Himself knows what it means to walk through death. But He also knows what it means to walk into life beyond the loss. So together, we're going to walk through grief. We're going to give each other permission to grieve. We're going to give each other time and space and opportunity for this very natural, normal, and necessary process. And maybe, just maybe, catching a glimpse of Jesus, we will begin to see the truth and hold on to this good grief. Amen. Friends, I hope you've enjoyed this time together, and my prayer for us as we walk together over these next weeks is that whatever grief we face, whatever loss we face it together, and we face it with God. So go in peace, walking with God every day this week. Amen.